great at what you do, but you're not gonna get this raise, but you'll get it in a year. My soul was crushed. So that was kind of like the that aha moment of starting entrepreneurship. I'm gonna say this, your skill set is gonna put you in a position of purpose and profitability. And so I always tell women, bank on your skill set. Don't become average in it, become great and excellent at it. The femology market is very diverse. And so when you come to our events, you can meet women from all areas of Metro Detroit. We even get women who come from out of town who come to the events just because they want that energy that we exude. And so what's happening is that women are collaborating, and what it's doing, it's creating economic opportunities for one another. Our only choice is collaboration.
Absolutely.
There's so much going against women that is swept under the rug that we have to collaborate if we really want to make true change.
Welcome to the Mother Honestly podcast. This is your host, Blessing Adesio, founder and CEO of Mother Honestly. On this show, we interview ambitious women that are thriving in and beyond motherhood. Expect honest and real conversations that will encourage and inspire you to take actions on your dreams.
Welcome to Mother Honestly, the podcast. I am your podcast manager, Kristen Baffo, and today with us we have CEO and founder of Mother Honestly, Blessing Adesion. And with us, our special guest today is founder and owner of Femology, Megan Ward. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hi, Megan.
Hey, Blessing.
So, you've had a wonderful 2018, and it's 2019, so why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us who Megan Ward is and what you do, and tell our listeners what you're up to.
Goodness. Okay. It's been a whirlwind, but I'm Megan Ward, women's entrepreneurial activist. And I know you're like, what's that?
Yes.
I completely
define that for us.
Yeah. I made it up. So it's something that you cannot Google.
Okay.
Really nothing came up, but my background is branding, web development, building women entrepreneurs. Once I became a mom, I took a pivot and decided to launch my own community and co-working space for female entrepreneurs. In addition to that, I am a representative for the U.S. Embassy, so I speak on the platforms of women's empowerment and entrepreneurship, and I'm a go-getter. You know, I love the grittiness of entrepreneurship. I'm a mom. I love that loving, nurturing aspect. I'm a wife. Hopeless romantic. But in addition to all of that, I'm growing into my womanhood, and it's a beautiful season to be in. So thank you.
Wow. I mean, and you're also the CEO and founder of Femology Detroit.
Yes.
Which is downtown. That was how I found you, because I'm always like hunting for like women that are trailblazers and change makers in our community. Mm-hmm. And I had just moved from Houston to Detroit, and I said, you know, I'm just gonna Google and, you know, see what's happening out there. And I remember, I think you were one or two of the first people that came up in my search, and I was like, oh, what is Femology Detroit? And like, that was how I basically found you. And so like, can you walk us back to like why you started Femology Detroit and what Femology Detroit stands for right now in the Detroit community?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Detroit until I was 18. Went away to college, and all growing up, I had a single mom who worked really, really hard. I went to private school, and I just seen her work extremely hard. She was the first person in our family to go to college, and seen her sacrifice a lot, but she was also passionate about motherhood. And I knew that growing into a woman, that I wanted to do things a little bit different, because I knew I wanted, you know, the career, the family, the, you know, all these different
all those things,
all these different dynamics. But in that, I didn't want to be burnt out, right? So I went to college. My mom really wanted me to be an engineer. I went to Kettering.
Really? No,
yeah.
Kidding.
Yeah.
You know I'm an engineer, right?
So yeah, I know. Like, I know.
How did you fall off the wagon? Just kidding.
No. When we met and you told me you're an engineer, I'm like, gosh, like I can't even imagine what college was like. But yeah, so I was in all these camps, and, you know, she had this plan of life designed for me, right? And I was in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, I really don't want to do that. It's not what I'm passionate about. So I went to college for business marketing, worked, got a job right after graduation.
That's awesome.
I mean, it was great, right? You know, you make your parents proud, and it's a career in your field. I was getting pennies.
Not everybody's getting a job right out of college,
So I'm like, let me just make her proud. I was making like $13-14 an hour.
Get out.
No, it was insane. With a college degree.
That is a huge problem. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's huge. Like, we'll get on like economic opportunities and the pay gap, but was making that, worked for a year. I really wanted a raise. My boss promised me a raise after 12 months. I walked in his office thinking I'm going to get it. He's like, you know what, Megan? Mind you, I'm like 22, 23. He's like, you're great at what you do, but you're not going to get this raise. But you'll get it in a year. My soul was crushed. So that was kind of like that aha moment of starting entrepreneurship.
We have a membership community, and one of our members texted me this week, and she was like, I am just upset because I was promised a raise, you know, every 6 months. I've been promised when I check in for my performance review, and it still hasn't been delivered, and I don't know what to do. I'm losing hope. I'm upset. I don't want to, you know, deliver at work anymore because I've just been told that, you know, I don't matter. And for me, I'm like, how is this even possible that we live in a society where it's not like that? Your performance does not, your degree, your performance does not match your salary. Mm-hmm. There's that, and I don't know what it is. I think especially for women, it's like our salary and our capabilities are not matching up.
Yeah.
So I don't know how. So how did you tackle the situation? So you went in for a raise and you were told that this is not happening.
Yeah.
So what was your next step?
So I went through an internal growth journey, as simple as that, where I had to understand what my self-worth was. Mm-hmm. And I cried for 2 weeks straight. Like, When you feel like you're undervalued or unworthy, and that's reflecting a dollar amount, I was like, whoa, like, I don't want this one person or one thing to dictate the way that I feel about myself and my life. And so I said, okay, you either stay here or you leave and you regain back your power and your worthiness. So I quit.
I love that.
So I quit.
You were like, I'm done.
I'm done.
You guys can go find your replacement for, I don't know, $11 an hour.
No, seriously.
Save $2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Save yourself $2 this time.
I mean, and no hard feelings. It's business on their end.
Correct.
But for me, it was more than business. It was about so many dynamics. Legacy, my mom, you know, not repeating patterns, not, you know, being burnt out, getting what I'm worth. It was so many things. So walking into entrepreneurship, it was more than about being your own boss. It was like, hey, you've hacked a system, you've hacked a mindset, and it's going to be elevation, not just for yourself, but for future generations.
Absolutely.
You know?
And before then, Megan, did anybody in your family, has anybody in your family, like, you know, gone down that route of entrepreneurship? Or is this like, are you like the first person to really say, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to create my own path, and I'm going to see if it works?
Yeah, so... In a sense of, my grandfather came from down south, from Alabama. He came to work in the factories. And so he didn't like the factories, so he quit, and he became an entrepreneur. But when it came to women in our family, no one ever quit their jobs. That was pretty much unheard of. My mom, she had, you know, side hustles, side businesses, but her career, you know, her 9-to-5 was first. And she dabbled into entrepreneurship, but it was never a firm idea of her being full time in it.
Yeah, my mom started, you know, I think we have the same story because my mom would start something and stop, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, today she's doing this, and then next tomorrow she's doing that. I'm like, Mom, you need to focus. Mm-hmm. And then she's back to 9-to-5. I'm like, okay, that's where you really need to stay because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But which again, I think that actually reflected on me because I'm like, oh, I can't be an entrepreneur because I see that, you know, it's not working out for any of my family members, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But I think we got a shift in the last 2 two or three years where all of my family members basically went the other route from 9 to 5 to entrepreneurship.
Wow. Amazing.
They are like extremely successful. So that kind of empowered me to be like, you know what? I think maybe we have this in our genes. Yeah. Let me pick this up. Yeah. So Megan, so now you started Femology Detroit.
Yes.
And actually, let's go back.
Okay.
You started Creatively Flawless.
Yes.
And tell us about that, because you have an interesting story of how you started with no training, no money, no connections, nothing. And somehow you were able to build an award-winning brand. So can you walk us through that process?
Yeah. So simple as this. You know, my mom cashed in her 401k for me to go to college. And so I would, you know, college is, you're getting to know yourself as a young person. Some things you try, you're just really figuring it out, right? So I had friends up at college who were failing out of classes, who were, you know, just kind of playing around. I'm like, well, hey, I'm up here on my mom's 401k, so I can't mess up.
Yeah. She made a huge sacrifice.
Huge sacrifice. So I went up there and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get good grades. You know, I'm going to join these organizations and XYZ. So I kind of had, you know, things planned out. She loses her job, right? So I'm like, crap, like, you know, and she was helping pay for my apartment. She was giving me like a monthly stipend, you know, all these different things. And so she's like, hey, Megan, you're going to have to come back home from school. You know, we're going to have to figure it out. And I'm like, you know, I'm almost done. Like, I think I was like junior year. I'm like, I'm almost done. Like, no. So I'm like, well, let me take action. Let me take some initiative. You know, I'm like, I'm a young adult. So I put out a Craigslist post and I started thinking of things I was good at. I'm like, okay, well, maybe. And this is when like the digital era was just kind of, you know, Facebook ads. I'm like, well, while everyone's at the club or parties, I'm going to teach myself on YouTube. I'm going to look at tutorials about branding. I think I'm interested in design. So yeah, I immersed myself into YouTube, Skillshare, a lot of free resources, and taught myself graphic design, coding, digital marketing, all that good stuff.
Wow.
And got my first client up in college, and it grew organically from there.
That's amazing. And then, so Creatively Flawless is now a, you know, a household name. You're basically, you're branding for clients that are now in Target, in big box, is it retailers, if you will. So can you walk us through that experience? How have you been able to basically take all of that energy into creating Femology? Because Creatively Flawless started first, and then you went into creating Femology. So why did you start Femology? Why did you leave the branding business and say, you know what, I want to empower women? Because I think that's what Femology is about. It's about empowering women. And so what made you shift focus?
So I'm going to say this. Your skill set is going to put you in a position of purpose and profitability. And so I always tell women, bank on your skill set. Don't become average in it. Become great and excellent at it. And so my skill set happened to be branding, building businesses, visual identity, all of that. So I really used that to catapult me into where I am now. So organically, I started building this community of women entrepreneurs, from clientele to I was doing webinars and tutorials. You know, I was doing all these different things in my industry. So as this community was building, I was connecting people. Mm. You know, so-and-so needed an accountant, and she needed a lawyer, and she needed, a baker. And so I'm like, well, what if we just kind of have our own place, you know, where we can, you know, do entrepreneurship, talk about womanhood. You know how guys go to the bar?
Yeah, the old boys.
And what's the number one thing that they talk about? At the bar, like sports, right?
Sports,
money. Sports, money,
girls.
So I said, okay, what if we have this place where the common denominator is womanhood, but from that branches entrepreneurship, motherhood, challenges in corporate America? And so that's when the idea of Femology came about, which was in the midst of CF in its, you know, early days, but I knew I wanted to make it happen one day.
So where where did motherhood come in into all of this? Because you have a 2-year-old,
mm-hmm.
or is it 2 already?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness! Oh my gosh. I don't think it was 2 the last time he came to my house.
I know, no, yeah. He wasn't.
So it just became 2.
Yeah.
Oh my. Okay. So you have Gray, who is 2 years old.
Yeah.
Amazing, handsome little guy. Where did that come in? When did you, like, walk us through like the timeline? Did you have the baby before Femology or after? What was that timeline like?
And
who was your first baby?
Which one of them?
Right.
He's the firstborn.
Yeah. So Femology was an idea before the baby was an idea.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I didn't launch Femology until after I became a mother.
Wow.
And something ignited me too long, and it was motherhood. It really propelled me. It made my why more purposeful, and I had limiting beliefs surrounding motherhood. Growing up with a single mom who is very career driven, it was always career comes first, and then you think about family and everything else after you become a veteran in your field.
Wow.
Yeah. So I grew up with that mentality, and so stars aligned, and my husband, you know, we started talking about it, and he's like, you know, I'm your partner, like, I'm here to help you. You can do motherhood because you have me.
Wow.
Yeah. So my husband was like essential in transforming my mindset around motherhood. Yeah.
That's powerful, because I you know, it's hard to find men that are fully supportive of your ambitions, mm-hmm. and your growth. And I mean, especially for high achieving women like us,
yeah.
it's very, very hard to find that, you know, solid support that says, yeah, go ahead and do it. I'm here to pick up the slacks. I'm here
yeah.
to support, to show up. And
yeah.
and I mean, shout out to all the men that are doing that, by the way, because
oh,
it's
my goodness.
Hard.
It's hard. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you have to walk the talk. It's not just, oh, darling, you know, I'm going to support you through this.
Yeah.
And that, you know, when the walk really shows up, they have to show up. And
yeah.
and I think that's a powerful statement from Gail about, you know, motherhood and you serving your purpose in life.
Yeah.
So now Femology came in and you have this amazing growth. I mean, you were featured in multiple magazines across the nation. You also went on to be appointed by the U.S. Embassy to represent women empowerment across the world. And you've been to multiple countries. You've championed the causes of women, of not just women, even men, in terms of, I mean, I've seen some of your videos and some of the work that you've done. Can you give our listeners a little bit about, like, just tell us more about that work that
yeah.
you do around the world and how that's serving you and serving our country?
Yeah, so I'm one of 300 speakers, a part of the U.S. Embassy speaker program. And so we all have an array of different expertises. Mine happens to be female empowerment, entrepreneurship. And so they reached out actually off of Facebook.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And
the power of Facebook.
Seriously, gosh, I'm grateful. But I thought it was spam, and I thought I was in trouble.
Like, the U.S. Embassy's calling.
Oh, my gosh. You know, he's like, I'm so-and-so, I'm a diplomat. And I'm like, what'd I do? Actually, you guys, I acted like I was one of my assistants.
You're like, I don't know her.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, why do you want Megan?
Yeah, I will be taking notes, and I will report back to you.
Right.
You're
right.
Like, hold on, let me go get her.
Definitely. No,
this
that was
Megan.
That was me all the way. And so they got to sharing more. Initially, they said, hey, Megan, we want you to come to Georgia, and we want you to speak to women on all levels. And I said, Georgia, absolutely. Like, that's only,
yeah.
what, an hour?
Atlanta, Georgia, absolutely.
Yeah.
I can do it.
So they're like, no, Megan, not Atlanta. And I'm like, but Georgia's in the United States, right? And they're like, no, actually, we're kind of by Russia and Afghanistan.
And you're like, say what?
Yeah. Literally, my heart dropped. One, because I had never been out the country.
No kidding.
No. When the embassy reached out, I had never been out the country. We had a trip lined up that was going to be our first trip, but we had just gotten our passport.
I was going to say, did you even have a passport?
We had just gotten it.
So the by the way, that passport business is not.
Yeah.
If you've been in our stories, you know that I have been going nuts.
We're on the passport struggle bus.
Really?
We finally got them, so that's good.
Okay.
So now you have a passport, and mm-hmm. you were told you were going to Georgia, yeah. not Atlanta, Georgia, for those that are still confused.
Yeah.
This is Georgia Tbilisi.
Yeah, okay. Which is an absolute beautiful country. So I went there and talked to women in IDP settlements, which are internally displaced people from war. So these people have actually been through war. Talked to women on, you know, blue collar women who have 9-to-5 jobs, who want to leap into entrepreneurship. And then I also talked to young women who are, you know, under 30, who are
still figuring their lives out.
Yeah, yeah. So it was absolutely amazing. And from there, I did a series of trips. They ended up bringing me on. After that trip, they brought me on board as a permanent speaker. So that first trip was kind of like a trial.
Yeah, your audition.
Let's see how she's going to.
Yeah.
And you, I mean, for those that don't know Megan is, you're a really great speaker.
Oh,
like,
thank you.
You know how to really get down to the details, but also big picture, what is the story? What are you gaining out of this? And I think that's probably what they saw. They're probably like, oh my goodness, we better get her on before she before she thinks this is not happening long term. But I think that you had this wonderful experience in Georgia. You came back, and I know you've traveled to the Dominican Republic, you've mm-hmm. traveled to Russia, mm-hmm. You've traveled to other countries, and you have more trips lined up. Mm-hmm. But what stories have stuck out to you the most in these countries around motherhood?
Oh gosh. Okay, so there's one. Okay, so there was a woman from Asia who moved from Asia to Russia, right? Huge difference. And, you know, we're talking, and I'm like, you know, why'd you move? You know, you moved away from your home country. And she's like, there's no opportunities there. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, some parts are like third world, and, you know, some parts are really, really developed. The really developed parts are it's very competitive. And she's like, there's a lot of people without jobs, opportunities. And she was a single mom.
Wow.
And so she moved to Russia for better opportunities. She didn't know a single soul in Russia, like not one person. And so I'm like, you know, did at least, you know, did someone? She's like, no, it's me and my son. And I'm like, how old's your son? She's like, 3.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, my mouth dropped. And so she's like, you know, I think I'm interested in entrepreneurship. Like, I see the value in it. I just want to know how. And so I think where I kind of give value is that I started my business with no money. And I think that's one of the top limiting belief with women entrepreneurs is like, where do I get the funds? Right. And so that's why I say focus on your gift, you know, and your gift, it can be related to your skill set. Get good at something. So that way, if you do need to pivot, you can find out what that skill set and your gift is.
Amazing. So, Megan, you've now studied Femology, and Femology is amazing. You have a network of hundreds and hundreds of women around the Detroit area that are basically looking to Femology for topics, resources, tools, infrastructure. And I know that you're also expanding. Can you tell us a little bit more about Femology, what it's about, what women can gain from this, what's next?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a lot going on, and I just feel like, okay, just give us a quick summary of what's happening with Femology.
So first thing I think of when you say that is I'm super grateful, but this crap is hard.
High five. We literally just high-fived because
right.
I feel the same way. You know,
Yeah.
honestly, we're doing a lot, and I just feel like this is intense. This is a lot of work, and it takes a different kind of mindset, and you have to be not just high-achieving, you almost have to be high-performing. You have to outperform all the time in order to even deliver the most minute deliverable.
Yeah.
And so, so I'm 100% on board with you there.
Yeah.
So, tell us more. How hard is it, and what's next for you guys?
Yeah, so, I mean, going from ideation to an actual reality, one, that was mind-blowing for me, but after that comes scaling, right? So most women-owned businesses, they stay operating within, you know, a certain realm and within a certain revenue. Most women-owned businesses are under $50,000 a year. You can't hire full-time employees with $50,000 a year.
Absolutely. So most women, we tried hiring a contractor, and our bill was $25,000 a year. I'm like, we're not making $25,000 a year.
Yeah.
So, and that's a contractor.
Yeah. So for scaling for growth is something serious. So what this past year has looked like is scaling for growth. And so we had to really find what we were good at. You know, not what we were just, you know, operating in averageness with, but what we can do that impacts and that projects change onto everyone that we're targeting. And so we found that not only with the co-working, but with our innovative events. And so every month or every other month, we produce these large scale events, and we produce them in-house. We do the programming from A to Z, and we get all the vendors to be a part of it. But these are pretty big productions. And so
you can tell me that again.
Yeah, the summit, you know.
Yeah, I literally woke up in, I think that was in July. No, it was in August. I woke up in August and I was like, we're gonna have a summit. And yeah. Megan, you were there because I called a meeting. Yeah. I literally called a meeting, mm-hmm. and I had about 6 or 7 women that I trust. And I said, guys, I want to put together a summit. And Megan was like, I think you can do it. Let's do it. And yeah. I was like, I was scared to my pants, by the way.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize how big of
an event.
Yeah. It was huge. And before you knew it, we had like massive amount of spreadsheets. We had Microsoft Project running in the background, like, okay, who is doing what, when, and how. And it's mind-blowing. So when you talk about a production and every 2 months, that is huge. So so you now produce these innovative events, obviously, and you also have all these tools and resources that Femology provides at the co-working space.
Yeah.
And so all of this is really supporting. And I know that you describe Femology as an ecosystem because you're really just kind of wrapping your hands around this women and saying, here are the tools, here are the resources, here are the tips, here's the connection, here's the network, mm-hmm. here is the events mm-hmm. to kind of bring everything together. Mm-hmm. So how have these women been able to achieve sustainable success? What stories have really come back to you to prove that this is working?
Right. So a core part of our model is collaboration. And what we've been able to do is the Femology market is very diverse. And so when you come to our events, you can meet women from all areas of Metro Detroit. We even get women who come from out of town who come to the events just because they want that energy that we exude. And so what's happening is that women are collaborating, and what it's doing, it's creating economic opportunities for one another.
That's
and
awesome.
So, you know, these women, they're like, wow, you know, I'm scratching the surface of the possibility of entrepreneurship, or, you know, I haven't launched my venture yet, but I see all these other women doing it. So it's within arm's reach for me. So it's amazing. You know, you see women launching businesses. We've had members in our space who've outgrown our space to their own, you know, practices, brick and mortar locations. So it's some real life things budding from Femology. And the thing about that, I think the city is seeing it. And to be seen in that capacity from an idea, it's phenomenal. And it lets me know that, hey, when women come together, we're more powerful, and we're more powerful than we think. Because just from social constructs and the way that society has crafted this mold around, okay, there can't be two women at the top. There, you know, you should only think to this glass ceiling, and then you stay there for the rest of you. So we're shattering all of these, you know, limiting beliefs. So it's beautiful.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned collaboration, because I know that, you know, a lot of people, especially even here, you know, in the U.S., because I'm from Nigeria, so my perspectives are sometimes different. But, you know, when we talk about collaboration, especially around among women, that's something that we've started seeing, I think in the last 3 years, where more and more women are basically coming together to collaborate and, yeah, and achieve. And a lot of people are saying, you know, community over competition, collaboration over competition. And that's really because there's this idea that women have been used to, which is basically that, oh, there's scarcity, you know, like, oh, this, I cannot definitely share my resources or how I'm doing this with other people, or I don't want other people to copy me. And so therefore I will, you know, kind of not attend those events or not, yeah, you know, collaborate or not support. And then they find out that they're boxing themselves in.
Oh my goodness.
And that's what I love the most about Femology, is that you come in and you see multiple women working on multiple things, mm-hmm, sometimes even the same thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they even come together and they collaborate. Mm-hmm. We had April Boyle here, and April she's the CEO of Beauty Institute. And there's this company in the Detroit area called Detroit Mama Orb, and they met, mm-hmm, at Beauty Institute, these two women, and apparently they just kind of started talking, and it was the same idea. And they said, you know what, instead of, you know, working on our ideas separately, we could actually bring these ideas together and create, yeah, something meaningful out of it. And so now they have this award, I mean, amazing, you know, space outside of in Detroit called, mm-hmm, Detroit Mama Orb, which is a plug-in for them. But, you know, that's what I mean when I say collaboration over competition. Yeah. And I see that in you, Megan. Thank you so much for supporting women. But one question for you. When we talk about, and I know you and I, we've always talked about like economic opportunity for women. Mm-hmm. I know you guys did the pitch competition, mm-hmm, last year.
Yeah.
We have a pitch competition coming this year as,
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
March
Super
9th.
Excited.
Yeah. So March 9th, we have an event called Women on the Rise. Mm-hmm. And it's basically how do you negotiate your seat at the table. Mm-hmm. And so it's all about, you know, not just about business women, but also career women. You know, how do you ask for more, and how do you negotiate? How do you, you know, not completely, because I think when we talk about negotiations, people are thinking about money, but I think for women, it's more than money. It's flexibility. It's, you know, it's how do I make sure that my boss and I are aligned so that I can achieve long-term success at work. Mm-hmm. So it's negotiating those details. So I'm so excited anyways about this event. And I know that you guys have the speech competition and you have other things that support women. So tell me more about the economic divide that you've seen between men and women, and how, you know, how the women that you are connected to, including you, are working to close this gap.
Yeah, so one, it's unspeakable. I'm absolutely appalled. But the thing about that is either you can sit and watch or you can do something about it. So when it comes to organizations like Mother Honestly, Femology, we're all doing our part. And when it comes, we, our only choice is collaboration.
Absolutely.
There's so much going against women that is swept under the rug that we have to collaborate if we really want to make true change. So if it comes to, you know, another woman doing branding, or like we're at Motor City Women today, right? I walk in and I'm like, Robin, like, I've never been to your studio. I'm happy to be here. We plan on opening a podcast too. And I'm like, how can we collaborate?
Correct.
And this is what it's about. Like, we don't compete.
No.
I'm like, and having an organic relationship allows, yep, us to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's not even just that. It's, you know, you already have this women that are doing amazing things, which Robin is a good example,
yeah,
that, you know, she's basically breaking all the stereotypes, mm-hmm, around women of color in podcasting, mm-hmm, or even women in general. And,
yeah,
so having, and she's been very instrumental in our podcast,
yes,
because I know nothing about podcasting and I literally just show up and she makes all the magic happen.
Yeah.
But I think that more importantly, it's how do we support each other?
Yeah.
So that we are, you know, not just growing, but we are thriving,
yeah,
and we are constantly leaning on each other. Because I know, you know, there's this book around lean in and work hard and bust your behind off. And I'm like, no, we need to lean on each other. That's how we really make tangible progress.
For sure.
It's not about, you know, me putting my heads down and, you know, working hard and stressing myself out when I have, you know, multitudes of other women that are doing amazing things that I can collaborate with and move ahead faster that way.
Yeah.
So Megan, the last thing I want to touch on with you is mentorship. I know that that's something that you love, and I can see your face light up. It's mentorship, because I think that, you know, a lot of women we don't have mentors. And I think it's a huge problem. I have been able to get ahead in my career because I've always had mentors. I don't have a problem reaching out to someone. And Megan is laughing because I did reach out to you. And yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm older than Megan, but I reached
There's
out
no
to
hierarchy.
You. And that's what I want to bring. That's what I want to bring, you know, into this is that there is no hierarchy. There's no, oh, this person is, oh, I graduated before this person. Oh, I did X, Y, and Z. But no. It's about what can I learn from this person to move me ahead. And I know that, you know, I reached out to Megan and I said, hey, Megan, you know, you're very great with branding. You're very great with marketing. I am trying to, you know, start something in this space and I know nothing. Yeah. And I said, Megan, would you like to mentor me? And she was like, absolutely. And I mean, I text our ears off and...
No, I don't think so. You're great. But you're a woman of your word and you get the job done. And so I think going into mentorship is one, let's before we ask somebody to be our mentor, let's date them. So we have seen each other a couple times.
Correct.
You know, we've seen each other at a women's networking event, then you invited me, and then our relationship fused organically from that. So I feel like a lot of people go into mentorship and they say, hey, can you be my mentor? But it's like, you don't know my work ethic, you don't know my values, you don't know how I live my life. So let's kind of go through this dating process to see if we're a good fit. And so what I've realized is that you have to understand each other's intentions, you know, and how you can give value. A lot of people think that mentorship is one-sided, and it's not. Your mentees need to be giving value just as much as you are. You know, it's a mutual exchange.
Correct.
My high-level mentors that I have, as much as they pour into me, I'm like, okay, I'm excellent at branding. How can I help you guys in branding? You know, do you need a pitch deck? Do you need, you know, I seen this on your website. I think this should be changed. You know, so giving value in that sense. I feel like a lot of times mentees on the mentee end, you know, it's like you're sitting at the door waiting for your parents to come home. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, like...
You have to get the work done.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
It's a give and a take. It's not for just sure. a take or just a give.
And just to give people a pro tip, and I'll let Megan share a pro tip as well, is when I go out and I seek mentorship, I don't go out there extending my hand and saying, can you give me something? I'm like, here is what I've done. I've done X, Y, and Z. I am missing this little piece. I know you have your strengths are here. And I just need advice. Oh, by the way, I'm not asking you to, I just need advice. Or maybe I know that you have a network, you know, would you be, and I don't go, oh, let's go back to the network. I don't go outright and say, oh, Megan, I'd love for you to introduce me to the diplomat that, you know, called you for X, Y, and Z, because I would also, you know, that's not how it's done. Yeah. It's, here's what I need, and I just need advice. Yeah. And you get that advice and you take that advice and you turn it into something tangible that the mentor can come back and be like, oh, my goodness, like you said, you were only going to do, you know, A, you've done A, B, C, D, E. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed. Here is more advice. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I've approached it. And it's also around what can I help you with? You know, when I come to Femology and when I come there, I'm either Instagramming, I'm letting people know more about Femology. Mm-hmm. That is my little piece mm-hmm. of, oh, thank you so much mm-hmm. for your
you
help.
You come to events.
I come to events. Yeah. I show up. I actually buy my own ticket. Yeah. I don't come out and be like, oh, Megan, by the way, can I have a free ticket? Because
yeah,
you're my
I
mentor.
Know you. Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
And that's where I feel like women really need to step up in terms of, I think because we're so used to, oh, you're my girlfriend and no, you can't be my mentor. Oh, can I come to your events for free? That's not how it's done.
Yeah.
It's... I will support you because you have supported me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
But you give us your pro tip because I know you have some.
Gosh,
some
oh my
good
gosh,
examples.
I do. So curating a board of mentors—that's what I call it. That needs to start with understanding who you need, right? So writing it out specifically. Like I remember last year when I was going through like an elevation in my life, and I needed mentors to serve me in my future self. And so I wrote down, okay, Megan, you don't know corporate because you were never really in corporate. So get a male corporate mentor, right? I put that. I've never had male mentors, right? So three out of five of my new mentors needed to be males. So I put down specifically who I needed. I put a male that's an angel investor because I needed to scale Femology to the next level.
Correct.
With funding. So I put down all these specifics. Literally, I manifested it. 2018, I was done filling my board of mentors by May. And so so amazed that I actually ran a mentorship program, and I kind of shared, you know, how I went through that process. But yeah, so mentorship, it's dynamic and there's no hierarchy. You know, honestly, I don't mind getting a mentor that's younger than me.
Oh, if you, give me those, yeah. Those mentors out of Silicon Valley that are 19 years old that have millions of dollars in their account, I will be your mentee. Thank you very much. Seriously. Call me.
yeah, absolutely. I even have a motherhood mentor, you know, because there's areas in motherhood that I want to grow in. Correct. Actually, this is so crazy. I was talking to someone about this yesterday on my Instagram Live, and I wish I had a motherhood mentor outside of my mom who would have prepped me for motherhood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that we, you know, it's a shameless plug, but that's one thing that we do here at Mother Honestly is how do you really, you know, prepare for these things? Mm-hmm. It's not even just about like the breastfeeding or the homeschooling or the X, Y, and Z. It's also how do you align your ambitions, your journey in motherhood, your relationship, how do you align all of those things so that you are outperforming in all of those things? Because, I mean, that's the goal. The goal is not to be ordinary in all of this facet. It's not to be an ordinary Megan at work, an ordinary Megan at home. And you know what I mean? It's how do you position yourself in motherhood? Because it's no longer, I think the realization for me in motherhood is it's no longer about achievement.
Yeah.
It's once you become a mother, it's not about, oh, what are the accolades? What are the X, Y, and Z? It's now about you, your life, your family, your growth. And so all of those things need some kind of mentorship, which I love that you weren't thinking ahead. You were in motherhood when you decided to do this. So how has that helped you?
Honestly, I talked to my mom about this because we've been working on elevating our relationship. So I needed to understand that my mom was a little girl and a young woman before she became a mom, and that she had dreams and goals, and she still does, and aspirations, even in motherhood. And so motherhood's hard, you know.
It's tough as F.
yeah, you know, they're you know, these kids, they take our energy. We give them our energy because we want them to succeed in all areas of life, and we love and we nurture them. But then it's like, okay, we gave them, you know, all this energy, but are we leaving energy for ourselves at that same time? And so me going into motherhood, I promised myself that I would not give my all to my children, because what's going to happen when they turn 18 and it's time to go to college? You're not going to have anything left. And you're going to have to go through this journey, which it's nothing wrong with that. But if we can start early in that process and not lose ourselves in that, it helps with our purpose.
I've always said part of motherhood is empowering yourself.
Yeah.
So that you can empower your kids. The earlier you can empower yourself, the earlier you empower your kids. And by that, you're not giving, like, my daughter is self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even care.
Very much.
I am like,
she can run, rather honestly.
She could.
she did get a headshot at the summit, and she's like, can I have my own LinkedIn account now? I said, no. You're not looking for a job
I
yet.
Love it. She's like, instead of Facebook or Instagram, she's like, can I have a LinkedIn account?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I said, you are 9 years old. You do not need a job. Mm-hmm. But she has a job at home, and she, you know, she cleans. Once everybody's is done eating and everything, she clears the table, she washes the dishes, she sweeps the floor, and she mops the hardwood floors.
Beautiful.
And she vacuums everything every single night. That's a job. I am like, you know what? I am not going to have a 9-year-old and go pay somebody to clean my house. Yeah. It's just not going to happen. And so I think that empowering ourselves, empowering our kids earlier, and, you know, there's this misconception, I think, in modern motherhood that you have to do everything for your kids.
Gosh.
You have to clean. You have to cook. You have to be the chauffeur. You have to, you know, walk out every day and drag your kids to all of this wonderful enrichment programs, the swimming, the piano. I crossed all of those things off my list. I was like, nope. When you are old enough to tell me what you need to be doing, we will be doing those. Because what happened was we were signed up for Mandarin, for Chinese, for French, for Spanish, and we were not good at any of these things. Oh, by the way, you know, we were doing, you know, the basketball, the swimming, the X, Y, and Z, and it was just too much. I was burning out, and I was like, you know what? We're not going to do any of these things anymore. We're just going to pick one out of each of these things and accomplish those, and that's it.
I love that. I absolutely love that. That's like a game changer.
It is.
So we did family vision boards this year, and I did one, Grayson did one, and Gil did one. And we had to understand that we're individuals first and then we're a family, right? And so Gil and I, we talked about it. We got lost in parenthood. We you know, once we had Gray, we were like
dropping everything.
We're like, who are you? Like, you know? And so we created these vision boards so we can realign who we are as human beings first. And then it was the family vision. So yeah, I totally get that, and empowering ourselves and then our kids. So yeah,
that.
Gray's vision board is to be potty trained within like the next, and he doesn't have a morning routine because we're like entrepreneurs and we, you know, it's very free flowing. So we're like, okay, let's get him on routine so he at least knows the definition.
Right.
Of routine. Yes, I love that. We're trying to do that for my son. He's finally sleep trained, which I don't know how that happened.
Yay.
Because I literally just woke up one day and my son is sleeping from 9 to 9.
Sometimes it just happens.
Like, good, literally, this boy couldn't get out of our bed the first year of his life. And now he's like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to sleep in my crib from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. And, I mean, my nanny's illiterate, of course, because she's like, I don't have to deal with all this mess.
Right.
But, yeah, it's been a wonderful
journey.
When's
his birthday?
His birthday is January 4th. So he just turned one. Aww. And he is 35 pounds. And he is yelling and screaming at everybody, like literally, like da 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 da.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's been a wonderful journey in motherhood all over again for me. Thank you so much, Megan, for coming.
Thank you.
I think that you are probably the longest.
Oh my gosh.
Like literally,
because and we probably would have kept going.
Yeah, because
we
can't.
We could have.
Yeah. Literally. Christine was showing me the time.
She's here. Like,
cut.
Wrap up.
Director.
So this is great. Thank you so much, Megan. I know you're on to great things this 2019. And please let us know how Mother Honestly can continue to support all the wonderful things that Femology is doing. I know you guys are going to kill it again this year. And looking forward to supporting, looking forward to, you know, hopefully collaborating on something together soon. I think you and I have been talking about that.
Let's do a next level collaboration.
Let's do something this city has never seen. How about that?
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much,
Thank you.
Megan.
Thank you both.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Mother Honestly podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode, we urge that you go on and rate, review, and subscribe to the Mother Honestly podcast.
Also follow us on Instagram.
Yes. And if you would like to be a guest on our podcast, you can reach out to me, the podcast manager, Kristen Baffo, at kristen@motherhonestly.com.
I'm so excited we have our own email. It makes us feel legit. Well, see you guys when you rate, review, and subscribe to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.